Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25:14. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Proverbs 24:10. Psalm 48. I deliver to you your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Psalm 48. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Psalm 48. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:1-2. Children, please stand for Bible class. The book of Jeremiah reflects the everlasting worsening situation that the prophet Jeremiah encountered. At various times, Jeremiah had the task of challenging the religious hypocrisy, economic dishonesty, and oppressive practices of Judah's leaders and those who followed them. If you would like to be challenged and blessed, you can find your way into the 52 chapters of the book of Jeremiah, and you will find yourself, I'm sure, stirred and your heart challenged. Jeremiah was the voice of warning, the watchman who brings attention to hard truths that others would rather ignore. Thus says the Lord concerning the house of the king of Judah. I will make you a desert, an uninhabited city. I will prepare destroyers against you, and many nations will pass by this city. And all of them will say one to another, why has the Lord dealt in this way with that great city? And they will answer, because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord their God. They will answer, because they have abandoned the covenant of the Lord their God. Open your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. In a few moments, we'll begin the message with the emphasis upon a broken-hearted prophet in Jeremiah chapter 9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, understanding that these moments are challenging moments for us. Finding our way into the pages of the book of Jeremiah is one of the most challenging things that can happen to born-again believers. We see how God has moved in the life of this man, Jeremiah, and how we are to respond to the call of God to our individual lives. There's no question in any of our minds today as we study the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah was a man of valor, a man of conviction, a man of influence, a man who was determined to present the truth of God. And when we get into our chapter 9, we'll discover that Jeremiah was a broken-hearted man. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today that we have this magnificent book before us, the Word of God. This magnificent book deals with so many different subjects. It does not leave us out. We're challenged today by what we find in this challenging, moving, startling book. We would think of Jeremiah perhaps as a pessimist, and yet in reality, a realist. We see him as one dismissed and ridiculed by the false prophets who insisted that their God never left the city of Jerusalem fall to any invader. We see Jeremiah's persistence in delivering his message over a number of years, 4 decades. This is remarkable indeed. When we take a look at Jeremiah, we see him simply as one who would not quit what seemed to be like an impossible assignment. How many of us would have walked away from such a situation? But one of the most striking things about Jeremiah, as we see it throughout these chapters, is his faithfulness in carrying out God's instructions in the face of opposition and criticism. That's the reason why we find him in the scripture as presented as the weeping prophet. He mourned the sins of the people and even grieved his own lack of success in turning them back to God. We see Jeremiah as one who never flinched in his confidence that God, who placed him, would be there to vindicate him. The prophet could be faithful to his unwanted call because God had promised to be faithful to him, just as God has promised to be faithful to us. We see Jeremiah serving with God's promise in his pocket. We read the scripture says, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." Father, we're thankful indeed, so thankful for Jeremiah, and that we're privileged to be here today to open our hearts and minds to these truths. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust you have your Bible open to Jeremiah chapter 9. I want to remind you as we move rather rapidly in preparation to get to chapter 9, to remind you that there are some things we need to see first. First of all, we discover when I take a look at Jeremiah chapter 9, I glance back at Jeremiah chapter 1. And I discover in the first chapter of Jeremiah the call of God to this man. I'm not sure how you would feel about this. We discover that the book of Jeremiah tells us that here was a young man that God knew all about him. Knew about him before he was born, knew about his purpose and reason for being on the earth. What's amazing to me is that Jeremiah began to deal with this man, God began to deal with this man, Jeremiah, at a very young age. Some scholars say between 16 and 20. My question is, what would it be like to be 20 years of old age and have God ask you to be his spokesman? I don't know about some of you ministers here today, but how old you were when God gave this command to you. It happened in my life at a very young age. To some of you, the same thing. What would it be like to be 20 years of age and have God ask you to be his spokesman? What if God asked you to go on the streets and all the people around and present to them the message and show them their sinful ways and ask them to turn? How difficult would that be? When I think in terms of Jeremiah, I look and I see that possibly one of the most difficult tasks all is to preach repentance to a nation going astray. Jeremiah was a prophet called to do just that. He could be considered as a man of valor, like those listed in the books of former prophets, like Joshua, Judges, so forth. The scripture says that God knew before he was formed in the womb and called him to be a prophet. I find those words very interesting. God knew Jeremiah before he formed him in the womb and called him to be a prophet. When he was called, very young, probably close to those days, 16 to 20 years of age, he began to say, I'm a youth. When you look at Jeremiah 1:6, God said, don't use that as an excuse. I will be the one to do the presentation. I will be the one to present the message. Jeremiah had some very good characteristics that would classify him as a mighty man. He was an obedient man. He knew what had to be done for the people of Judah. With God's strengthening, he was able to stand up to Judah's false prophets who prophesied nothing but good for the nation. God told Jeremiah, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. We find that in Jeremiah chapter 15. Just imagine how it would feel to be standing against so many individuals who carry such a weight with the nation, and to be the only one preaching destruction. This was certainly a challenge to Jeremiah. When I look at chapter 1, I see Jeremiah's call. You may want to take this outline. When I look at chapter 2, I see Israel's apostasy. When I move into chapter 3, I discover that Judah is described as being worse than Israel. When I moved into chapter 4, I see approaching desolation. When I moved into chapter 5, I saw universal depravity in Judah. When I moved into chapter 6, I saw destruction from the north. Jeremiah, as we all know, was a man instructed to stand in the gate of the Lord's house. We find that in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 2. When you go to Jeremiah 7, verse 3, it says, amend your ways and your deeds. When you go to Jeremiah 7, verse 4, it says, do not trust deceptive words. There's no question in our minds that Jeremiah is described as a man with a broken heart. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go with me to that ninth chapter. We're going to be looking specifically at these verses. Jeremiah chapter 9. Look at verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they're not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 9, now verse 4, take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They will have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 6, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness, lamentation, because they are burned up so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heaven and the beasts are fled. They're gone. Verse 11, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through? And the Lord said, notice verse 13, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice. I want to pause and let you look at that, and let's see what's happening here. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. They have forsaken my law, which I set before them, verse 13, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. And I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. I realize I'm reading verse 17. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids rush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet, verse 20, hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, everyone her neighbor lamentation. For death has come up into our windows and has entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets. Verse 22, speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me. I trust you're paying close attention to these words. Jeremiah, God's man, is expressing here deep concern, and we find him weeping as a result of the disobedience of people. Know that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. What I'm discovering here is that Jeremiah is a man in sorrow over the futility of the individuals who have abandoned God. They've turned to everything vile and wicked, which is presented to us over and over again throughout this magnificent book. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6 and verse 7 and in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. All this is revealing the fact that Jeremiah is a man in sorrow over the futility of his proclamation being abandoned, turned down. The people had turned to everything that was in disobedience and vile and ungodly and wicked. And the scripture here reveals that he weeps day and night at the thought of impending retribution. When I look at Jeremiah here, I see him as he begs and pleads and entreats and implores the people to turn from their wickedness, but it all seems to be in vain. Even the threat of Babylonian invasion somehow seemed to spur the people of Judah to some activity. But the activity became something that was improper and false, because what it stirred them in activity that was the manufacturing of idols, as if they had concluded that idols would save them. When I look here, I discover that Jeremiah's preaching was a reminder that the people were far away from pleasing their God. Jeremiah was instructed to stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Jeremiah was instructed to amend the ways and the deeds of individuals. Jeremiah was instructed and said, do not trust deceptive words. I find something unique about Jeremiah. Maybe you've already seen it. But let me ask you to go to the 16th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Maybe you've seen this, maybe you have not. God has His hand upon this man. In chapter 16, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. That's interesting. God gave a command for Jeremiah, this man who was a young man at this time, and he was instructed not to have a wife and not to have a family. The word of the Lord came also to me, chapter 16, verse 1. Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus, verse 3, saith the Lord, concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that beget them in this land. They shall die very grievous deaths. They shall be lamented. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried. But they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth. I'm amazed at these words. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to the lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land, and they shall not be buried. Neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning, to comfort them from the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. Verse 9, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Look at it, please. Thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me. Don't miss this, please. Thou and your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and they serve them, and they worship them. They've forsaken me, and they have not kept my word. And we've done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of their evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there ye shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he has driven them. And I will bring them again into the land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send far many fishers, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They're not hid from my face, neither is iniquity hid from my eyes. And first, I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and there are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand, my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Sometimes I realize that it's important that we read, because when we're reading, we're aware of the fact that these are the words of God, and God is saying through Jeremiah, this weeping prophet, those who choose to go in the wrong direction, those who choose to follow in the footsteps of Satan and follow themselves in disobedience to God's plan, they're going to suffer greatly as a result of it. Jeremiah, God's man. Jeremiah, a man determined to present God's word no matter what would happen. It was never easy for him. We find him even at one time being placed in a deep mire. We would call it a pit. How awful. He went through all kinds of difficulties, but he remained consistent in presenting God's word. A broken-hearted prophet. A man in sorrow over the futility of his proclamation being abandoned. So many of the people had turned to everything vile and everything wicked, turned away from God and turned away from the plan of God. How tragic that is. May we pray together, please. Father, we have been made again to be aware of the fact that here we have a prophet who was called at a very young age and realized that he had a purpose and a plan, that it was designed by the Heavenly Father for him. And even though it was difficult along the way, he was determined that he would be true and faithful no matter what took place in his life. As we take a look at Jeremiah, we're reminded of our responsibility to be true and faithful, even though there may be days of great difficulty and burdens and heartaches and trials and tests. We do not know today, but there may be those in this auditorium, those hearing my voice, who are facing all kinds of burdens and heartaches and trials and testings. Some are facing illness. Some are facing various types of disasters in life. We're aware of the fact that you promised us in your word that you would never leave us, never forsake us. We're told in the word that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. As we think in terms of where we are today, where we are as a nation, where we are as an individual, where we are as born-again believers, we are aware of the fact that we are facing various difficulties and problems and challenges in life. We pray that we will understand that as we look at Jeremiah, even though he faced so many problems and difficulties, he was determined, so determined, to be able to fulfill what you want him to do. Help us to do that same thing. Help us to realize that life at the longest is so short. In our time on the earth, we do not know how long it will be as far as the days that are left. But we realize that while we're here, you have a reason and a purpose and a plan for our existence, or you wouldn't even be allowing us to continue. So help us to understand today again that our existence is because you desire for us to be here. And help us to know that we have responsibility while we're here to fulfill your desire, your plan for our individual life. As we come to the close of this session now, we're aware of the fact that God loves the world and Christ died for mankind. We're thankful indeed today for the fact that God's grace is sufficient and that God's grace has been provided in salvation for everyone. And that's the reason why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We do not know, but there may be some ears today listening to this voice, and they're beginning to realize that life is short at the longest, and they need to make preparation for eternity. That is so necessary. We're only one heartbeat away. We're only one breath away from eternity. And we'll either be with our Savior in heaven, or we'll be without Him in a place of eternal doom. We realize that you have made plans for us to have that magnificent home called heaven. And so every ear that's listening today, we realize that you can change individuals' lives, because the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be many today who will realize that this is the time, this is the moment of salvation for them. The scripture says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have that life. We pray that there will be those who will accept that gift of life today. We thank you over and over again for salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can present that good message of salvation. And we pray that there will be those who will respond. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.